What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Monday edition of Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. We got Triple E and Laura behind the scenes. Sean, we got a ton to talk about today. There's a ton of NFL to talk about. We're going to hit on the World Series here in just a second. But as we were talking before the show, you got a coach that you're still kind of weary of, even though his unit and the side of the ball he coaches is playing really well. But it's just the way he's handled things over his couple years in his city that we're going to talk about today. And I think we can get you a little fired up about something.
Oh, I'm already. I got to figure out a way before I get this studio finished where I can stand up in my home studio, like raise my computer, because animated. First of all, I'm so tired of defensive players getting the shaft. Honest to God, I am. I'm so tired of the pussification of this sport that it's only protect the stars, and I get it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's no coach that we're going to discuss that in his city, without producing a Super Bowl, has had his ass kissed, yet complains that it's not more than this guy. And I'm a fan of this guy, but you know what? I'm growing weary of the – there's no bigger gap either from great offensive consistent production or great defensive production to just year after year average offensive production. Yes. Which ought to tell you something in this. So we'll get to that. But I'll tell you what, this World Series, Yamamoto ain't ever paying for a drink again in his freaking life in Los Angeles, brother.
Dodgers,
the Toronto comeback, played their ass off. Yeah.
They did. Dodgers come back. They win game 6 and 7. 7 was one of the best game sevens you'll ever see. Toronto goes in to the 9th inning with the lead. They get a couple outs. Rojas comes up and just hits a bomb to left field to tie it. I mean, the Dodgers basically went through their rotation. I mean, Glasnow pitched. I mean, they all pitched. Kershaw, like everybody pitched, it felt like, for the Dodgers. And then Yamamoto comes in 2 2/3, only gives up one hit. I think he had one walk, but just gets big out after big out.
One walk the whole friggin' series for him.
Yes. Yes.
One.
I mean, he was incredible. And then Will Smith hits the home run in the 11th to put them up. And then Yamamoto shuts the door on the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, Blue Jays fans just had to be gutted with the way that ended. But what were your just overall thoughts on game 6 and 7 as the Dodgers go back to Toronto, win both games that they had to win, and get their back to back World Series championship, and Kershaw now goes out as a back to back champion.
So many freaking layers to this, dude. Since the Yankees in the '90s, the '70s Reds that I grew up watching, the Big Red Machine, which some people still argue is the greatest offensive team that's ever, you know, just with the array of players at that time. And then the baseballs weren't near as live then. And then this Dodger team. Listen, you could say buy championships all you want, but the way they've put that team together is pretty impressive. And it's always Rojas was kicking rocks, dude. And for Dave Roberts, who 3 years ago we obliterated as, well, this guy, what an underachiever. Now the dude's a Hall of Famer. He is putting up – I know people are going to try to shrink it because of the players he has that they go pay for. But that's the object. The rules say you can go pay for him. If you want to get over the luxury tax, pay for him. Dave Roberts, his gut wasn't handed to him on a fucking card, okay? While I like analytics, I don't want analytics 100% of the time. He went with the gut of Rojas, and Rojas made the two biggest plays of his life on defense and on offense in one game that changed the entire course of how it turned out. First of all, Toronto, take a bow. There's no – I know you don't want the moral victory. It sucked. They were getting ready to celebrate.
Yep.
Not prematurely. And I'm telling you what, I love their manager. He is as good as you'll ever hear. I love when they interview him. You know, normally I don't care about those things. And I'll tell you who's the best in game. First of all, baseball by far. Managers give you more there than any coach coming off at halftime, than any coach in football. Basketball is an embarrassment. That's a joke. They don't tell you anything that, like NBA I'm talking about. But if you notice, like Shane, he just kind of going through and being honest. He's talking like he'd talk to a player. And then he has to hold up. Do I need to check this to get the guy out and come back on? I just friggin' love his insight. Toronto, take about moral victories I know don't exist. But damn, you can make the argument that you literally, without the runs, and I don't know how we say this, but you probably could say you outplayed the Dodgers, other than a few clutch plays overall that were the difference in games, because they didn't get dominated one bit. And I know in seven games, they say, well, Sean, of course they didn't. It was seven games. But there was nothing about that series that you don't give the Toronto that you have to be ashamed of, right? I understand Kiner Falefa. We'll get to why he didn't take a bigger lead. I always say Matt, he could have matched, especially with, you know, I don't understand the right-handed pitcher if it was a lefty, but he has to get close to matching Max Muncy, who was off the bag in that. So he's going to take a lot of flack for that with the play that Rojas almost slipped on the turf, and then he makes the great throw. And it had to be saves. If that's offline one split second or offline, mm-hmm. that's a safe. And it was the right call. It was the absolute right call by the umpire. But just one more step with a walking lead, or get where you're three quarters of Max Muncy's, you know, how much he was off the base, because he wasn't protecting the line. He was eating the bag and protecting a play at the plate. So you had to play that. So there's so many layers to this. Yamamoto's performance in game six, and then to come back in less than 24 hours or basically 24 hours and do it again, and not just do it again and give you an inning. He gave you an inning and took care of his business in fashion. I'm talking about, it wasn't just, dude, can you give us 15 pitches? No, it was 15 pitches, my ass. I'm finishing this thing out.
And then 2 2/3.
Double play on the cutter. It just was – and I wasn't rooting – I mean, obviously rooting for the Dodgers there in the U.S., but I have buddy. I don't hate Toronto. I played up in Winnipeg, and great city, great people. I just was rooting for great baseball, Segs, and we asked for it. Remember I said last week, and I said that if they got to go back down two and win two in Toronto, that's an uphill task. I don't believe it can happen. Well, I'll be damned when you get epic performances, and it's not even just the hits. It's the timing of your defensive play. It's the timing of a play by Kike Hernandez, and then to double up you at second base. It's the timing of Mookie Betts, who'd been struggling with his bat, not to let it affect his you know, playing middle infield, and to turn over that double play and make a throw. The timing of Smith to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And of all guys, dude, he hadn't seen the home run since, what, middle of July or something?
Yeah, something like that.
For Rojas to do that and to go down and get it, dude, and then the pitch you want back. You can't throw him you can't hang one in the strike zone to Smith because he's got too much power. You bury it, do something, run it in on him. You just can't. You can't throw him like it's working. What, at a cement mixer, right, Segs? It just kind of hung in the middle of the plate, and he was sitting on it and crushed it. So I mean, there's so many elements to both sides, the guts on both sides, and some great defensive play, dude. And underrated that not enough people are talking about. You put out a defensive replacement in center field, the Dodgers. You put the defense – I'm telling you right now, if Kike Hernandez has to make that catch, that's like a receiver now, folks. I want you to visualize this for a second. Corner route, which we call a smash route, 2x2 in a gun. Yeah, Segs, you know what I'm talking about. Run a 10 to 12-yard deep angle corner, or down in the red zone, we run it to the back pylon. And then you run the little hitch or whip out as your outlet – and you're just reading off the corner. Corner jumps that, you throw it. Or if it's man coverage, little drop shot. Or you throw a deep ball and a guy, when you see a receiver going and he has to catch it over his head as opposed to in front, this is a hard catch, right? This one where he's looking and staring it in is a pretty easy catch. This one where you're staring here and you have to come back over your other shoulder, very difficult on a receiver. Same thing with a guy. Kike's playing it Willie Mays style, trying to get his eyes on it.
Yeah.
And, dude – for who am I? Why am I losing my mind? Why am I losing my mind?
I'm looking at it right now. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Why am I?
He came in and he hit for him.
So caught him in Rojas. Yes.
Where's the box score?
Yeah. Who made the play?
Why am I losing my mind? His eye call. I just call him Pages.
It's Pages. Pages. Pages, dude, the defensive replacement, and you listen when they put him in. They said defensive replacement because he's got a stronger arm than than Tommy Edman.
Yep.
They put him in there because they needed, they had to get him ready for a throw to the plate. And that's why they put Pajas in there. Okay. And dude, for him with that long body to go up and just physically manhandle Kike Hernandez.
Oh, he just,
you make the easier catch in front of his eyes as opposed to the over. First of all, the baseball IQ to say, listen, we may collide, but dude, my catch where I can, because he was double eyeing it. He could see it with both eyes and the front of his glove as opposed to Kike happened to, he would have had to
that go was like, that'd heel, be like heel Sean, down. Sean Taylor hitting Wes Welker going over the middle, right. Just getting an interception.
No question about
it. Clearing him out of there.
Blatant disregard and Kike while he got knocked out. Like, hell, whatever, dude.
Yeah, whatever, but make the catch.
It was just a smart Pajas' play to make the great catch where he can see the ball with two eyes. Where it would have been a phenomenal catch. It was a phenomenal play, but an even tougher catch for Kike Hernandez. But so you saw it all over the place. Toronto made plenty of them themselves in clutch hits. But think about the names, Segs. Kike Hernandez with his double off and his home run that he hit in the series. You talk about the great defensive play, and then you talk about the defense that Rojas was playing and the play he made, and then obviously the home run. I'm just telling you, man, the way the Dodgers won this, well, I don't want to say unlikely. And then I guess that's even a better word, considering the circumstance, have to win two in Toronto, Sex. And then all of a sudden you've got Yamamoto who just like dressed it in a phone booth. We thought, I know, I understand that Shohei's a unicorn. Well, yeah. What are we labeling Yamamoto? Like I said, a lot of times you bring a guy and he's just trying to give me some pitches, dude. Yeah. I know that you're exhausted. But to come in and be exhausted and get through that, and then to throw the perfect pitch to saw off the double play, unfriggin' believable. And then with the way they turned it, what a series of emotions. My emotions were all over the place, and neither one of these teams is my guy. So
yeah.
I thought it was friggin' a monster game, and the ratings show it. The ratings, yes. People wanted to see it, and they got great friggin' baseball from two teams, well-managed, pitched, and some clutch defense and clutch hitting. And then the questions will be there with the kind of Falefa. But it's more than one play, Segs. I understand that. It's more than one play. And then he's still got to get a bigger lead. That's just the bottom line.
I coach baseball. We had our first baseball practice yesterday. It is something we talked about. Secondary leads. You learn this from the time you're eight. Secondary leads. I get, you're not wanting to get doubled off. Understand it completely. Especially when you saw the one hit that was a shot to Max Muncy and he caught that line drive. So you're thinking in your head, like, I don't want to get doubled off. But damn, on an infield hit like that, you have to score. And the fact that he was,
Muncy double play. There you go. Yeah. Right.
The 4 feet, off the base was it. At contact. So. Yes, you don't want to get doubled off, but man, you got to be more than 4 feet. And the fact that it was that close and Will Smith's foot came up and then had to come back down and touch the plate, and rightfully he was out. I would be furious if I was a Blue Jays fan, being that we've waited this long to get back. We're right there.
Because
then the home run and then that, I would just be furious.
Because of the situation of the game, it almost felt like he was afraid to get. And you mentioned
he was 100%
when the monthly the dive and tag third base, right? You're thinking about a lot of stuff, right, Sage?
Yeah.
And when you go back to Smith on the awareness to make sure he gets to get the foot back down on the plate just in case, whether it was cognizant or not, it looked like he knew. But Sage, was it the same series of plays? I'm just making sure because I'm going back, over the weekend, Segs, of Saturday night and then Friday night, and I don't want to put it all together, but with all the football, they kind of get skewed, Was it the same inning? No, I take that back. No, because Kiner Falefa came in as a pinch runner for pinch runner who he pinch ran for Bichette, correct? Wasn't that it?
Yes.
He pinch ran for Bichette. Yeah, so he pinch ran. I was just thinking it hit me, but it was a different inning. Never mind. But to not have Segs, I'm talking about just a half a step more lead. A half step, and you're right. You learn that base running when you're in Little League.
Yep.
You do. it felt like he was timid. And unfortunately, there was just a few plays, bang, bang type plays that ended up the bang, bang catch, like we talked about in left field for a defensive replacement and that play. And, but they were all at the play at the plate, like we just said from Rojas saying that it was phenomenal baseball. And unfortunately, Kiner Falefa is going to have to live with that the entire friggin' offseason on. If he's safe, done. Finished. Yeah. Game's over.
Over.
Finished.
Just
open the door. Yep.
Oh, you just can't do it. But congrats to the Dodgers, back-to-back World Series champions. Congrats to Dave Roberts and Shohei, who's going to be an MVP. I mean, just what he's done since he's been in L.A. in two seasons. I mean, first 50-50 season ever. He's going to be a two-time MVP, NL MVP. He's just
he's ain't ridiculous. Done winning those.
And, yeah, he's not done winning those, and we're just getting started as he really comes back. Remember, they always say your second year after Tommy John is when you take off. This was just
you might be throwing 103 next year, Segs. You know what I'm saying?
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But we had a good NFL weekend. We had a crazy NFL weekend. You know, we had that wild Bears.
Better games than scheduled. Better games than scheduled.
No yes, doubt. We had the wild Bears-Bengals game, which ended, you know, with Caleb Williams hitting Colson Loveland for a long touchdown. We had a lot of close games. And I'm not on the right week because I about said a bunch of scores that weren't right.
What a day Loveland had. The tight ends in this league, Loveland's really good, not to get off the beaten path, but anybody watch the Raiders game yesterday? Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers. There's a lot of good ones. There's a gap between Brock Bowers and the next guy, dude. He is a freak show.
Yeah.
Freak show. But anyway, back to that. Yeah. But
he's
Zach Taylor just keeps making the same excuses. Yeah, no doubt.
Dude, it's embarrassing. And now you can see it starting to turn, like Ja'Marr Chase walking off the field. You know, one fucking stop. That's all he said. Just get one stop. One fucking stop. And they couldn't do it. I mean, Joe Flacco played his ass off through for like 457 yards or something like that. A bunch of touchdowns came up big after big. They got, I mean, this, the Bengals got a return kickoff. They got an onside kick. They got all kinds of stuff and they still didn't win the game. First time that the Bears have ever given up 40 and won the game. So that was a wild game. But I think when you look at the big scheme of things, everything comes back to that Bills Chiefs game. Bills get the win over the Chiefs again, just like they seem to do every single time. You know, we have a regular season matchup between those two, and we're going to get it again next year because those two divisions play each other next year. So it's going to be, it was a fun game. I thought there was times where both offenses looked like they were struggling. The defenses were kind of winning. And then there was times when it flipped and Josh Allen was just slightly better than Patrick Mahomes in the end. I think that was the difference in the game.
Well, completion percentage, Allen had his best, or right around 80%, and Mahomes had his worst, and that's two or three plays or three or four completion segs, and the way Mahomes has been playing, you wouldn't think it, but I think Mahomes' numbers was the lowest completion percentage he's ever had in a game, yet they were within a touchdown, so it's rare we come out of a game saying Mahomes wasn't sharp enough to beat Josh. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's sometimes something else. Well, lack of weapons, injuries. But yet you look at him, Segs, that 4th and 17 he converted. That dude's just a 4th and 7, 4th and 10 plus to him is like 3rd and 1 or 4th and a half yard to the Eagles. It feels as close to an automatic. It's weird. And Romo was ranting about saying, I'm telling you, he's the best you'll ever see at this. And I'll be damned, 4th and 17, he lets the guy get into the second window and throws like a deep dig into the window and puts it right on the money. What a great friggin' play call by Andy Reid, too. He made it look like he was going to run like a dash or move the pocket. And then he started to move it, came back, set up in the pocket. They kicked it out, let him set his feet and make a rip shot throw. I thought there was great offense on both sides. I thought there was outstanding defense on both sides. And Buffalo just got a couple more stops and made a couple more plays. So when Allen's – and neither one had to throw 60 times to win, Segs. Right. They stayed within it. Cook did his thing again. But I'm telling you, if the Chiefs get into the playoffs, if they're able to stave it off and find a way to get in, And I know people say, what do you mean get in? Well, listen, the way the Colts are, even though they got beat, I mean, it's still going to be, the Patriots are still playing great football. Yeah. I mean, the Bills, we wondered, well, the Bills haven't beat anybody good. Well, they just did. They beat the hottest team in the AFC, at least in our mind, the way they're playing. If they get in, we're going to see them again, Segs. I'm just telling you. These two, I don't know where or how, but I would imagine we may see those two again in the postseason. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But it was unfortunate, and they were still within a touchdown with a chance. It was unfortunate that Mahomes, 3 or 4 or 5 more completions, which he'll normally make, that we may be staring right at overtime, right in the face. So you never know. But Buffalo, we asked them to answer, beat somebody good, and they did in their building, which was an impressive win, which all of a sudden – but let's not overreact on this shit. No. One game against a good team. They look like the Bills. We all thought the team that I picked will win the Super Bowl this year. And I get it. I don't waffle on it. I'm going to stick with it. But I'm not getting all, oh, my gosh, because show me 2 or 3 great teams or good teams in a row you got to beat. You still owe one to New England as they got you in your building. So, but it was impressive. That looked like, well, the Buffalo-Kansas City game, and it looked like the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl-caliber team at the right times, and they got – both defenses, Segs, and you pointed it out. And I think we hit pretty good, I think, on the unders and betting over the weekend. It felt pretty good for the most part. I felt good but with it. I made some money, but I tried to match with what we said on the show in most of them. But the way that Buffalo's defense and both coordinators showed you why defensively they're pretty damn good. They know how to get stops and – in a game that two quarterbacks normally go haywire, while they still scored some points, it wasn't one of those 41-38 type games.
Yeah, the old, if the season ended today, the Chiefs would be sitting outside the playoffs as the eighth.
What, like ninth, right? Eighth, right?
Eighth, yes. Yeah. As of right now, they sit eighth. So we'll see. Disgusting. I only saw it once. Jaden Daniels. Dislocates his elbow, kind of lands on it going backwards. Dan Quinn comes out today and basically says, you know, pats his chest like, that's on me. He shouldn't have been out there in a blowout. They were getting their ass kicked by the Seattle Seahawks, who we're going to talk about in just a second. But I kind of posed it in one of our things. Is Jaden Daniels, and are you worried at all that he's going to become RG3? Are you worried about that? We saw big rookie years in Washington, and then they come out, and then it's just injury. Oh, a little injury, and then a significant injury. Now, it's not the knee, so that's good for Jaden Daniels. It's the elbow on his non-throwing arm, so that's good. But it's still just a lot of injuries piling up quick on a guy who is not built like a Josh Allen, like a Patrick Mahomes. He's not thick in the body. He's not thick in the lower half. He is a guy that's waiting to get hit, and he gets hit a lot with his style. Are you worried that he's going to be the next RG3 if you're a Commanders fan?
I'm very worried, and I'm going to tell you why. A couple reasons, and there's some eerie similarities to what's going on with what you're talking about. And one is why I'm concerned during his senior year or his last year at LSU, yeah, going on with Matt Muscana at in Louisiana, New Orleans every week. We talk LSU, talk Saints. Still do. His biggest weakness at LSU is inability to get down at the right time. He did. And so we were concerned about Duke. And even this year, Matt had brought up, Sean, what do you think? I said, he's got to quit taking hits. We've heard people on broadcasts say it.
Right.
That's his biggest weakness. Now, think about that. The guy is special. When he left Arizona State, which is a guy who's played in the Pac-10 and then the Pac-12, which is really no longer the Pac-12, but when he came to LSU, you go back and look at his first year at LSU with Brian Kelly. Spent a lot of time accurate, throwing the ball underneath, was not good at the deep ball. Spent time working on it, really? Got more gutsy with it, and became a really good deep ball thrower. Heisman Trophy, top 3 pick, whatever it was, and a hell of a talent. And I love the kid, but I can keep saying, dude, the injuries. Well, not only now, he's built almost, I mean, I don't know what the weight is, but you look, RG3, not a big lower half, long and took a lot of hits. Played hurt when they put him out there when he was hurt. Jaden Daniels was coming off an injury from the week before or two. You know what I'm saying? He's come off, mm-hmm. was it the hamstring, the hamstring, lower half yep. injury, hamstring, and goes in there. You wouldn't have left a healthy quarterback in normally under that ass whooping. You said, today's not, we ain't scoring four touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Get him out. Yet even with that coming off the hammy, which what, like Friday, Saturday type of decision, said he was going to play even Sunday morning. Okay, he's going to play. Well, then you sure as hell shouldn't have left him. Listen, I'm a big Dan Quinn fan. Dan's got some things to fix as a head coach. He's had to get a team to a Super Bowl. We saw that team last year. We think they're going to take another step. Well, now they're struggling their ass off to even salvage a season. And you left him out there, and it was the wrong decision. And I'm glad Dan owned it. And then they call a play that Dan says, we're going to throw it or hand it 90-plus percent of the time or whatever I paraphrase for him. And then he pulled it and ran it and didn't get down and took the hit, right? And then the elbow. So the era similarities are, remember when Mike Shanahan and that group, people got mad because they ran him out there and left him out there because yep. he was hurt?
Yep.
And a little bit of that different area, as you talked about, Sage, but it's still an injury. And that's going to keep him out a while, which you can the Commanders are done. They're not making any playoffs without Jaden. No. I'm just telling you, they're not. So the similarities. Yeah, I'm concerned because he's slight of body with tremendous speed and a great player. I think he's a better player than RG3 was. RG3 was a freak show then, but I think the accuracy and a few things I felt. Now, RG3, at one point, I thought he was going to be a 4,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher. I think Jaden Daniels got that in him. Yet, you've got to learn. Even Josh Allen and Cam Newton shouldn't be taking hits like that.
Right.
You just can't do it. And you're exactly right. I criticized Kevin O'Connell this past week for keeping Carson Wentz out there. You've got to save the player from himself. And Wentz shouldn't have been out there either at the time. That game was – especially if you're hurting the team. And Wentz, I love his guts. And I completely – but you can't leave him out there if he's hurting the team because he can't do the things you want him to do when he is healthy. But with Jaden Daniels, my biggest concern is not his accuracy. It's not his ability. It's not if he's a great kid and a smart, high football IQ. And I understand how tough he is, but he's got to quit proving. He doesn't need to prove that he's tough. Now, in this case, wasn't his fault. Pulls it, runs it. It's one of those you start to cringe the second he breaks the pocket, Segs. It's mm-hmm. like, no, please don't let this be the reason. And I'll be damned, your worst nightmare hits. And Dan knows it. His ass should have been standing on the sideline, and Marcus Mariota should have been playing in that game. Because now, within a score and a half, Segs, keep him in. That's your best player. You got to keep him in. You just can't do it. That's it. And it's a vicious game, and it's unfortunate. And I know Dan didn't want to put him in harm's way, and unfortunately did. But if you want to prevent him from getting out, then the ball's got to come out quick on a slant-type play, the quick game, or you hand off that RPO and say, dude, do not pull it. We're down. We got no shot. Hand the ball off or throw it. If you pull it and you get hurt, I'm kicking your ass, and you're going to be right on IR just for that reason. So there's a lot of it. It's a bummer for a coach, but Dan, he should not have been on the field. I don't want to say it's like irresponsible, but it was wrong decision. Does that make sense? I know he didn't mean to put him in harm's way, but he was coming off an injury anyway, and that game was over. Can't do it. You cannot do it.
Yeah, very bad situation there in Washington. For everybody. Another QB injury happened this weekend. CJ Stroud leaves the pocket, takes off up the middle, and takes a hit from Chris Abrams' drain. Now, I don't even, and here's the problem I have, and we're going to talk about a certain coach here in a second. The problem I have here with everybody throwing their hands up, especially the people in Houston, they're throwing their hand up. You cannot tell me that was a legit slide from CJ Stroud. Like, that looked like he slipped on a banana peel and just went ass over tea kettle, as they say. And then he took a shot shoulder to chest. Now, in my opinion, and they were right on the field, there was no flag. It was a good, pure football hit, just like we tell all these defenders to do. Put your shoulder in their chest. That's exactly what he did. CJ Stroud did not slide. That is not a slide. I mean, we see baseball slides all the time. Russ Wilson was one of the best at it. Remember, he could run, slide, and just pop right up and keep running if he wanted to. But CJ Stroud did not slide there. He took a vicious hit, bounced his head off the turf. And I'm not saying he deserved the injury or anything. He's out with a concussion. We'll see how bad it is. Well, he's in the protocol. But then your guy, D'Amico Ryans comes out after the game. And now remember, a few weeks back, we had Al Shahir, the linebacker there, Shazier from Houston, who smoked Trevor Lawrence square in the head as he was in a legit side. Now, Trevor's was a little late. I'll give you that. But he hit him shoulder to head and then head to ground. Little bit of a different scenario. And your boy, D'Amico Ryans, just had two completely opposite reactions to the plays involving his team.
Yeah, was the Lawrence hit last year, wasn't it, Sakes?
Or was it last year? Yeah. I was thinking.
Yeah. Earlier. No, I know that, dude. They run it together. Yeah. It was last year with Al Shahir. Last year,
yes.
And it's like, you know, being here in Houston, I'm watch all their games because of the local the local flavor.
Yeah, you're on the air.
No doubt. And listen, that's exactly right. And I'm a D'Amico Ryans supporter. We're going to get to that in a second. First off, that hit was far more vicious. And I'm not sure. I don't really care who the teams are on this. I understand the Houston upset. But he's overloading his mouth with his ass. And quite frankly, look at that. That's part of that hit is on C.J. Stroud. That's a slow down and sit down in a chair. Now, listen, to me, I wouldn't have flagged it either. Now, look, if they're both going down at the same time, how do you tell a player this ain't the fucking Matrix with Keanu Reeves? You can't suspend him in there. Now, watch this. Freeze it right there. Both of them have started. And C.J. Stroud, that's not a slide. That's a, oh, shit, what am I going to do now? He'd just have been better off to go head first, lower his shoulder, and knock the shit out of the guy he's bigger than. And listen, I don't like to see any quarterback get hurt. And I've had this concussion where you get hit. I got hit in the pocket and hit my head on the turf. That's where the concussion came. To me, that's what I teach my football player to play. Now, if he started the slide earlier and the same result, flag him, see if it's targeting, whatever you want to do, and go take it. That's just a good football play. But it's so bang, bang, you can't flag him on that, in my opinion. And he hit him where you're supposed to, shoulder to chest, not the head, and not flying through and leaving 2 feet like a missile and hitting him in the head. Yep. So Houston fans can be mad. It won't be popular here. I don't care. The bottom line is that C.J. Stroud's slide was horseshit. It was awful. And it doesn't mean he should get hurt, but it was the turf after the hit that caused it. But if he goes down, now this one, and D'Amico Ryans said he defended his guys, and he should defend his guys. But how you defend him is say, we just can't do this. We got to be a smarter team. And what gets the Texans defense that is a dominant, great defense, gets them in trouble, is at times they are a little undisciplined with penalties, as you saw there last year against Lawrence. Well, with this one, you can't stand up there and then go off and say that was penalized. The guy did. The truth of the matter is he shouldn't have been penalized. It's 100%. It's unfortunate CJ got hurt, but we need to teach our quarterbacks to be better when you give yourself up for that slide, because every rule favors the offense. I don't know how you're supposed to hit a guy, because you go into a film room. Let's say Stroud doesn't slide or kind of slides and you don't do it. You know what your coach was saying to you on Monday? The fuck are you doing here, dude? You got a football play. You go hit somebody. But I don't think – and the intent – we got to understand intent, too. There was no intent to hurt C.J. Stroud, or he'd have gone helmet to helmet. It was unfortunate where the head whiplashed back. It sucked, and it looked awful. But to Texans fans, you know how I feel. I love you guys, but I got to tell you. And to D'Amico, that was not an illegal hit. That's a good, hard football play. And C.J. partially – not to blame for the concussion, but it ended up happening – partially to blame for his kind of weak-ass slide. He didn't get down soon enough and didn't get down fervently enough to show. Because you see how his legs are bent. Normally those guys slide, legs are out in front of them. His legs were bent like he was about to sit down in a chair, and it was a slow process. What are you supposed to tell the defensive guy? And for D'Amico Ryans, he defends one. He should defend his guys, but you damn well know, looking at both, the one last year was far more vicious to Lawrence than this one was to Stroud. Same result because of the turf and the hit on the turf, which goes to George Kittle's thing. We should have uniform fields and they should all be playing on grass. Okay, yeah. You get my point there. That's another thing. So, and D'Amico, who I've been nothing but a support system, and I love him, but saying I'm starting to grow tired of the bullshit. No coach, because about a week and a half ago, he was talking about, yeah, people pick the negative out and they don't ever talk about the positive here, and they find a narrative and which is BS too. I've been in a lot of cities. I watched a lot of football. Because he played here, when they hired him, they needed a fresh head. These one-and-done head coaches, and you needed to get him out and bring in a guy who was, he was the hottest commodity as a defensive coordinator with the 49ers, came here to Houston. No coach, sans maybe Andy Reid or McVay, but they've won championships. No coach without a championship who was hired by his team that's coaching right now has had their ass kissed by local people more than we did to do. I'm talking about me as well, to D'Amico Ryans. It's like he's well, he played here. He's a captain here. He went to Alabama. This is his city. He came back and he's coaching it. So to stand up there and say, well, you know, they don't recognize the good, bad. Nobody, it's a coach in this league, to go back home to his home team that he played for, has had their ass kissed and at times didn't deserve it because of this piss poor, inconsistent offense. Once again, you see it good one week and then extremely average at best the next week. So his defense is damn good. We know he's a good defensive coach, but protect your guys, but you got to have a little feel. And the feel is stop it. Stop the complaints about you didn't, they're not treating it right because everybody's focused on the negative. I included. Kissed his, when I say kissed his, I'm talking about he could do no wrong.
Right.
We're starting to see a little thing. Being a head coach is tough. Taking criticism's tough. Watching guys take hits is tough. His defense doles out a lot of hits and they're damn good. But he's not above criticism because I'll tell you what, they soaked in all the compliments. And unfortunately for D'Amico, to put it that way, nobody's had their ass kissed more in a city than that guy because he's the fair-haired guy. This is our guy. This is our dude who came back and coached us. And quite frankly, he's learning just how difficult it is to win on a consistent basis on both sides of the ball. So I think he's a little bit hyperbolic in his approach to what he's doing for who deserved the hit and who didn't. But I do love a guy who protects his team. But fact of the matter is, the hit on C.J. Stroud was unfortunate, but was not vicious like the hit his team issued last year to Trevor Lawrence.
While he does have one of the league's best defenses, he's the head coach. He is not the defensive coordinator anymore.
Damn right.
Part of his job description is finding an offensive mind that can take C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and company and turn them into a really good offense. And so far, he's 0 for 2. And what has he done both times? Hired rookie play callers that are young, not that experienced, and they've come out. And, I mean, C.J. Stroud was good last year. And then it
was great as a rookie.
Yeah, great
as a rookie. Took a step back last year and
last week. Yes, average last year. Right. And then this year, it feels like it's falling off a cliff. So, I mean, while they
– Who hired those two coaches, Segs? Who hired the two coordinators? And you know what?
Boy, D'Amico Ryan.
Well, and guess what? Rams 49ers, and I know Kaylee came with the background being with the Patriots for a while, but rookie play callers. And if you're going to complain about the one who actually, Bobby Slowick, and you fired him at the end of his second year, and then you went back and hired another rookie play caller, not to say Kaylee won't be good down the road, but you're putting a lot of faith in that when you're playing in a tough-ass league. And your offense has underachieved at the offensive line position. I'm talking about Sands last week when they looked as good as they've looked offensively, but the consistency's not there, and it falls on D'Amico. And you know what? For all that local guy played here, coach here, I'm telling you what, the shine on that star ain't as bright as it was 3 years ago. I promise you.
Yeah, and while we're talking about quarterback hits and roughing the passer and stuff, before we get to the three big upsets in the NFL yesterday, Sean, there was a hit in college, and it just kind of goes with the hits we've seen. You know, Jaden Daniels getting hurt. They called this roughing the passer.
I know Saturday. Where you're going. I saw it.
Triple E, play it. I mean, there's no explanation
it's
needed.
It's a friggin' embarrassment. Would you guys quit putting pussy-ass calls on? I mean, not you guys, but are we serious about this?
He's not even late.
It's an embarrassment.
Step and chest bumps him.
It's not like it was four steps
and then just kind of bumped him.
Chest bump harder after a touchdown pass with each other. Touchdown with their own players.
Yeah.
They will chest bump more vicious. That the pussification. Well, Sean, we got to quit. And you'll get that. Somebody out there listening to this is right now. Well, we got to protect our stars. Screw your stars.
Yeah.
Sorry to tell you. If I got to protect them like that, put a flag on them and quit being such pussies. Quit calling for pussy plays. Quit letting the referees ref pussy games. Stop it. It's a vicious, violent sport. Take the illegal hits out and get rid of cheap shots. But that was a down pillow hits harder than that does. You can't do it. You absolutely see it every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, where you're like, what?
Yeah, I mean, there was one in the Rams game where, and I'm forgetting who they're playing with all these calls, but he hits the quarterback, and his hands are literally coming off the quarterback, and he lands on top of him, but he can't.
What are you supposed to do?
He's hitting him.
You can't. What are you supposed to do?
He's not driving him into the ground. He's just hands off. And then there was another one where they hit the quarterback, take him down, and he's literally bracing on the ground before he lands on the quarterback, and they still call it. So, I mean, when you talk about defenses getting hosed, this is the kind of shit we're talking about. But that one is inexcusable, and whoever that ref is that called that and the head referee, it may be the same guy. No, they should be fired. They should never be allowed.
Okay. Yes, there's a legal hit. Let go.
Arms off.
On him. Where's the – that's just football, man. That's football. How do you play defense? Yeah. You know what? If you're a quarterback in this league now and you don't throw – you're the starter every week and you can't throw for 4,000 yards, then you suck.
Yes.
Well, Sean, you didn't. Yeah, because I didn't play in this era. I'm throwing for 4,500 in this era.
That's
giving myself a prostate check. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably one of the softest hits you ever took.
Gracious. And I couldn't move like these guys that stand by. No. You can't call this. We got to protect our commodity. Protect them from what? So we're playing 7-on-7 tag football. Do you know what? We do that at the Pro Bowl with flags on. Stop it. This ain't the Pro Bowl. It's a vicious game. And you know what, Tyler Shook? And quarterbacks, quit coming up looking for a flag. Yes. That's just a good, clean hit. And if referees are calling that, you're ruining it. Hell, it's no wonder a defense can get any stop, dude.
Right.
It can get a stop ever. So, and I'm an offensive guy. It's pathetic. And that was pathetic. Was it Notre Dame? I'm assuming that was on him.
Yes, it was
right?
Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah.
If I was CJ Carr, I would have turned and screamed at the official.
Yeah, don't call pick that flag bullshit. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, don't
you make it, because you know what it does? It makes me look like a bitch as a quarterback.
Exactly.
It makes me look like a bitch. And you know what? Exactly. That's exactly what the rule is. It's a bitch-ass pussy rule, and I'm sick of it. I am. I'm tired of it.
Before we get out of here, Colts, Packers, and Lions all lost yesterday in close games. And the Colts had to come back from a large deficit. They were down 24-7 to the Steelers. But what do you make of all three of these teams that we considered top echelon in their leagues all losing to teams they should not be losing to? What do you make of it? Do you think it's just the NFL just kind of being the NFL this year?
Yes. Yeah. Dude, we got Carolina's what now? 5-4?
Yeah.
Are they 5-4 now?
5-4, yeah.
Carolina, and they're getting better. I mean, you start looking around.
Green Bay defense did not touch Bryce Young. Didn't touch him. The vaunted Green Bay defense with all their passes.
And yet they still held them to what, less than 20 points, right? They still played pretty good. They just didn't touch the quarterback. He just hang his jersey up and play next week.
But Jordan Love played his worst game. I mean, I know our guy Isaiah on here comes on here and glazes Jordan Love, but you can't say shit about Jordan Love with some of the throws. That throw he made after he ran around for a bit and threw to the end zone that just, I mean, hit a Panther. There was no Packer within 10 yards.
And you know what? His numbers were decent when it comes to completion percentage, but that's why you got to look. You got to see the forest through the trees. I don't know where he was throwing it. That red zone pick. I don't know where he was throwing it. Yes. I watched Trevor Lawrence in his game down by the goal line throw one right to was it Trevor Lawrence? I think.
I think it was.
Throw it right there. It's like, dude, where are you throwing it?
Yeah.
Where are you? Were the Raiders playing Jacksonville? It was the Raiders, right?
Yes.
Jacksonville, right? And congratulations to on Cam's 68-yard kick. That would have been good from 70 Cam plus. Little. But anyway, that Cam Little's kick was awesome. And then they drug test him the next day. He took a picture. He had the steroid. Already? What? Come on, man. But he threw a pick. You're like, dude, where are you throwing it? You can't throw it there. Throw it to your mom in the stands or your girlfriend, what have you. So you're exactly right. So here's what I'll tell you about the Colts. You ain't beaten sister school St. Mary's across the street from Notre Dame when you turn it over six times and get sacked five.
Yeah.
You ain't beaten anybody. I don't care who you play. Well, Sean, maybe the sister. Yeah, you're right. The sister school St. Mary's might have played better than them. But slow down. Yeah, I'm ripping. Yeah, the sister school is saying that's exactly right, because that's about how the Colts played, turning it over, and you're not beating anybody like that. In the other game you mentioned, Segs, the Detroit. Listen, your guy came in. The number. Look at the numbers, Segs. You're like 116 yards passing, but he made a great throw to seal the game. His feet were back, meaning McCarthy, and the dude threw a couple early touchdowns to get him out in front, and Minnesota's defense played well enough to do their thing. The numbers weren't gaudy, but you know what they do? Take a look also, Segs. It's so the way some of these teams that – who's the third team you mentioned? Who they play? Let's see. You said
– the Packers, Lions, and Colts.
Colts. Just some of the – oh, well, Dowdle's rushing game in his game. He was in a game we mentioned. We got 160. When you're giving up 169, 170, 180 yards of rushing, you have a hard time. Yep. But in that one, Detroit, Minnesota had a quarterback that just made the right play at the right time. It was great to have him back. The Colts, you can't – that's basically like 11 turnovers, saying sacked five times and turn it over six. You're given – I mean, it ends drives. It ends in, you know, either field goals or no points at all. And then, obviously, the Packers, some of the decisions they made – You're not mustering up enough points, and they just didn't play well on either side of the ball when they were becoming one of the hotter teams as well, and a team we were holding in high regard in the NFC, and I still do. But I think the answer to it, Segs, to your question, is it's the NFL. Hence why you got to be on guard. Ask Buffalo how that felt against Atlanta. Now look at Atlanta's situation, and they're mad at Vrabel's team because, well, the clap, and quit this pussification too. If you can't handle somebody clapping on defense, because I know guys do that to get them to move, then get your ass under center, get in the gun, and do what we always did. Use a cadence, okay? Yep. Try use a cadence, and if your guys aren't watching ball movement, then you need to coach them better back in Atlanta. So save the excuse for this. Another, well, man, I saw this guy clap, and I'm trying to figure out all these claps that they saw. How about this? Executed like old school football had to. Silent count under center or the clap, save it, okay? We can go back to fifth grade Swickley, Pennsylvania, get under center and use a cadence and go play football instead of complaining about a loss. New England beat you because their quarterback played better and because they executed better, and they're not bitching about some clap because you couldn't get off the ball. Stop it.
The football in the NFL right now, I just don't understand it. None of these things are making sense. We've got Atlanta beating Buffalo, then getting destroyed by Miami, then almost beating New England in a span of 3 weeks. We've got the Packers. Their only two losses are to the Browns and then whoever they lost to yesterday. I'm losing my mind. Was it the Panthers? Yeah, the Panthers.
Yes.
Like, it's just – this season is not making sense right now.
That's the Dowdle rushing game, yes.
Yes, right. And it's just there's so much going on in different ways. And now we got the trade deadline. We saw Jalen Phillips go to Philly. We'll talk more about that tomorrow because our show will be back at noon tomorrow. So we will
Central
be
Central time.
Central time before the trade deadline, I believe, is at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. So we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. But, yeah, this NFL season so far has been weird. A lot of bad football, in my opinion, which I think we've kind of been trending that way for a while now. It just seems like the football gets a little worse, a little more pussified, which makes the game worse. And then we see some incredible playing, like, you know, when Josh Allen gets going or Patrick Mahomes, that streak he was on.
Yeah, the special ones are special right now. Stakes.
Yes. No doubt about it. And, but then it's like you even take it. It's like, how special is it in the reality of things because of everything we just talked about where you can't do anything on defense?
Right.
So it's hard to take what Patrick Mahomes has been doing or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson and say, well, he's clearly better than Brady when you look at numbers earlier in their career. And so, no, Brady was getting hit in the chin, bleeding. Brett Favre, you know, and you just go back to your era with Marino and Elway and all those guys, Montana. It's like, if those guys played now, like imagine Dan Marino playing now with some of these receivers. And he had great ones in Clayton and Duper and everybody. But imagine him with like Justin Jefferson
couldn't or get
Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
yeah, you couldn't get to Dan Marino with old school rules.
Right.
And now with these rules, he's going for 7,000 on your ass and laughing all the way to the bank.
You kidding me?
So I mean, it's just we're getting a lot of bad football. The good ones are playing really good, the individuals. The bad ones are really, really bad. And yeah. I start to look, Miami's going to have a new coach. Cincinnati's going to have a new coach. Cleveland may end up having a new coach.
They will.
Who knows about the Jets? Who knows about Atlanta? I don't know what's going to go on there. Arizona, possibly new coach. I mean, you go around, but you know what? Your football teams are, when you consistently do wrong things weekly,
yeah,
not only is it players, there's a critical component missing during the week, Sakes, on that, whatever that is, it's missing in a lot of these buildings. And I'm just going to tell you now, I promise you, as I sit here, if not, then you and I, you can come with me and we'll walk from Chicago in the spring to Arizona to watch spring training baseball in good weather and raise money for charity if a finesse team wins the Super Bowl. It's not happening, man. And those teams we just named play too much of it, no doubt.
And that's where I'm hoping, because one team I've kind of grown to like this season just by watching them is the Colts. And yesterday, they didn't run the football. They didn't throw the football well. I mean, he had a lot of yards, Daniel Jones did. They had a couple guys over
there. Yeah, 50 times too, right, yes. Sakes? Yeah.
And he threw three interceptions. But what I liked from that game was them holding the Steelers to under 2 yards per carry, holding Aaron Rodgers to 200 yards passing. So I think when you look at the game, like you said, it was just the turnovers. You take away the turnovers, even three of them, they win that game probably by 10 points.
Segs, if he throws one pick, the game's theirs.
Right.
Because I don't, like I said, I'm not a big moral victory guy ever, but you are going to go in and watch tape today when they did, and they're going to watch it and say, well, we did some really good things, but 5 sacks and 6 turnovers ain't it, brother. We ain't beating anybody that way. But you take away 2 sacks and 2 turnovers, and you're like, defensively, we did good. They didn't run it down our throat. Rodgers didn't take over the game. We eliminated some big moments. This was a true case of – and finally, the Steelers' defense showed up, right, Segs?
Yeah.
They showed and looked a little bit more like, well, this is Steelers football, but you can't turn it over that much. But I'm going to tell you what, anybody that thinks the Colts are going to go away and die, you're making a major mistake. That is not going to happen.
Yep. All right, well, that'll do it for today. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We got a lot of college football to talk about. Auburn adds to the coaching carousel by firing Hugh Freeze. What's that job kind of do? We're going to bring back up for, I think, the third time, Deion Sanders in Colorado. Should that be done as of now? And then when you look at games.
And Arch Manning, we got to give credit where credit's due.
Yep.
He played his ass off.
He was
awesome. Vanderbilt almost got a comeback. But it's going to be fun. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show, because if we're going to rip him when things go bad, I mean, you know, give him a hard time. Arch Manning looked like a first-round pick against Vanderbilt. He did.
He looked awesome. Miami loses again to SMU. Are they done? And then
I tell you not to trust down the stretch, Sags? Who'd I tell you bothered me? What did he do down in the red zone in overtime?
Exactly like he did at Georgia last year, where he
threw the ball right to him, and then game over. All you got to do is execute a field goal if you want. And then they said, screw that. We're just going to go take care of our business. They were pushed around a little bit. 3 weeks ago, we had them as a team going to the playoff. Right now, they're gonna have to play their ass off to get in.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about when you look at the ACC. We had Georgia Tech lose their first game. We've got Virginia at 1 loss, and then we got Miami at 2 wins. I want to talk about that conference tomorrow and how things stack up for them trying to get into the college football playoff. And then the last thing we're going to talk about tomorrow, my favorite thing from the weekend, which was – no, not my favorite thing. Your favorite thing I found the funniest was your boy, the OU kicker, in his short shorts. They weren't thigh high, mid thigh high. They were higher. They were
higher than Johnson shorts. They were dolphin jog. It felt like he was wearing dolphins and going to go to work for Hooters when the game was over.
Okay? Yeah.
Stop it. Now
we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Burying some field goals.
He was.
Good kicker. But this ain't
no. You don't have any restrictions down there. You're going to.
Only thing missing was a stripper pole from the doggone field. Are you kidding me? Stop it. How did the referees not like, dude, Herbstreit is great. Just penalize that. That's what you got to penalize. And he's right. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Look at the Oregon quarterback from last year that's on the Browns. Help me out. The third round pick, the lefty.
Oh, Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel.
He wore shorts.
I wanted to say Gilbert. Yeah. His pants kept getting shorter every week, it felt like, last year at Oregon. So, I mean,
dude, if I see a guy come out here. If I see a guy come out in a G-string, I'm done, dude.
I'm finished. I quit all football.
Which reminds me, I'll tell you, I had a teammate saved, offensive lineman. I'm going to leave his name out because I love him. Went on our bye week, came back from vacation, he and his wife were on the outs and they were getting divorced and he had his new girlfriend with him, but came back from vacation, took his jeans off to get ready to go out to practice. Stud offensive lineman, had a great player, lasted a long time. I love him. G-string. Those young girls got the G-string going. I'm like, no, put those football pants and jeans back on. We're about a step away from that with Oklahoma's kicker. Yeah. Is there a strip club in Norman? I'm not sure.
That's ugly. No, bad I'm look. Sure there is somewhere.
Bad look.
Sure there
bad
is. Look. No, it's not.
No, yeah. No, there's there not. Go. Okay.
Bad no. looks. See, it looked no. like Triple E with the dark, with the room a little dark, was at the strip club in the VIP room waiting for the Oklahoma kicker to go G-string on their ass and come off a pole. That didn't sound right.
Oh,
wrong word to use when you say get off the pole. There you go.
Yeah. Real quick, our bet of the day, Monday Night Football, Cardinals at Cowboys. Cowboys -3.5, 53.5. What's your take tonight?
Boat race. Cowboys win this one tonight. Yeah. I think the Cowboys are going to – they'll score a lot. They may give up some. Cowboys win. Take the Cowboys. I depend on how much I don't know if Arizona's going to give much in the point game, but Dallas' defense doesn't stop much. But
no,
I tell you, do that. But I got Dallas. Dallas is going to beat them by a touchdown or more.
Yeah, I think this is not going to be close, Dallas. And give me the over. I think they score 60 plus over the total tonight. So,
Dallas may have about 45 of them, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Exactly. All right, that'll do it for us tonight on a special edition night show with some scheduling problems early in the day.
You can blame it on me. I had to go speak and MC a luncheon, which I do every year for the back to back group inside.
You had lunch with the OU kicker in his football pants.
Well, sometimes NIL works a lot of ways, thanks. There you go. But to my back to badge people, I love you guys. Let's just play like that was it. But it's in Cyprus and in the Sci Fair, and they're a great group of people raising money for kids and for the police department. And I'm always honored to be a part of that back to badge. But that's where I was at that time. So I can never cancel that. And thank you guys for moving your schedules, not only my team, but our listeners, but I'll keep you informed on Segs, what that was like with the Oklahoma kicker. We were spending some of his NIL dollars. He was dancing. Yeah.
You had a late lunch after
late
your
lunch. Back to the badge,
We will be back tomorrow at noon Central, 1 Eastern, as we are every single day. We're going to talk a lot of college football. We'll talk about the NFL trade deadline.
And John Stockton will be kicking with Larry Bird next week with those shorts on, those nut hugger shorts. Yeah. Boy, those will make you horny.
Oh, God.
Time to go. Go coach basketball. Don't you got to coach basketball tonight?
Yeah, I got boys basketball practice in like half hour. Ugh.
Borrow Stockton shorts and go coach him like that. Pull your socks up to your knees and tell me what the kids say, brother.
They'll beat me up. There's 10 of them. If they combine, they're all 10 years old. If they combine, they could probably beat me up. So,
well, we got plenty of 10-year-olds beating up people in the streets nowadays. Might as well be you, Snakes. There you go. Yeah,
might as well be.
There you go.
All right, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Triple E, thanks to Laura. Thanks to Sean. Thanks to all our listeners. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.